Hey, I am Tammy, and you are listening to Women Committing Crimes. Welcome back to my regular listeners, and welcome to the podcast to our new listeners. This is a true crime podcast about women who have committed all sorts of crimes, from the heinousness of infanticide and child abuse to those who have committed fraud or even treason in their respective countries. The women are from all over the world and from all time periods. Just wanted to do a recap. We're closing in on the end of season one. I'm not really sure where to end it, though. Do I end it this summer? Do I do like a whole year and that's a whole season? I don't know yet. So I'm thinking about that. If you have any ideas, let me know. I'm now on summer break. So for the summer, I'm going to go back to weekly episodes because I've got the time. And I'll be adding new bonus episodes called Secret Spy Sisters. I'm sticking with it, goddammit. Secret Spy Sisters will only be available on the website, though. So I'll be uploading the first bonus episode on June 21st. I gotta hold myself to that. So make sure to go to, here's the website, www.womencommittingcrimes.com. Women Committing Crimes is all in one word, just like the email, www.womencommittingcrimes.com. So go there. On the website, not only are all the episodes there, there's a page for the episodes. There's a page for the different women also that are on my list. With those episodes, there's pictures. Hopefully not violating any copyright laws. If I am, somebody let me know. But until then, they're there. I'm also going to add a page for the Secret Spy Women. So Secret Spy Sisters. Anyway, so make sure you go to the website, www.womencommittingcrimes.com, to check that out. I'm excited for those Secret Spy Sister episodes. There are so many fascinating women spies in history. I didn't realize that. I mean, you think of World War II, definitely Cold War spies. There's been several recent ones with sex espionage and all that kind of stuff, and that's all going to be in there. And actually, I found all the way back to the American Revolution, and I know there's more before that, but I just started research yesterday, so I'll make sure to continue on with that research, and I'll list those women also. So real quick, I want to thank all of you listeners. Thanks to you, this podcast is growing in popularity on all the different podcasting sites. This podcast now has, the time of this recording, 1.7 thousand plays, which means that it went up like 100 plays in 1 week. There's some people out there who are like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. It is to me. God damn it. That means people are actually listening. And that's very exciting to me. Remember, you can support the podcast also. I'll give you that again later too, but I'm going to say it here now. You can support that podcast, this podcast. Go to anchor.fm/Elizabeth-Chase and please support the podcast. You can make a one-time donation, or you can do it on a monthly basis. I myself support a podcast on a monthly basis. Now on to episode 28. I grew up in Texas, and when I was a kid, there were only about 5 TV channels. I know, way back in the day, right? And one of them was Univision, the Spanish channel. On occasion, I would check it out because they had like the best dramas, especially what's called telenovelas. The melodramatic actresses and actors, the rapid-fire Spanish, I loved all of it. When I was a preteen and teenager, I was a little bit into U.S. soap operas, especially like All My Children. You know, I would have fantasies when I was 13 of growing up to be a famous, you know, soap opera actress, like the one that played Erica Kane in All My Children. Loved that. You know, and I didn't understand all of the dialogue and stuff on the Spanish TV novellas, but I understood the body language, of which those actors and actresses are amazing at. If you grew up loving soap operas or telenovelas, today's woman will interest you. The alleged crime of today's woman and her punishment also brings up some questions, or the question, about punishment for celebrities and the rest of us. Is it equal or fair? We could probably pick out a couple in this country that are not equal, celebrities who didn't serve as much time and so on as a normal person would. So today we're going to check out the alleged crimes of Lydia Echevarria, a telenovela actress from the 1980s. For this episode, we are going to the Free Associated State of Puerto Rico, or as they call it, Estado Libre Asociado de Puerto Rico. I'm going to do my best with Spanish. It's the easiest one for me, and I love Spanish so much, and I wish I spoke it more. One day, I'm going to have time to take Spanish lessons. I am moving to Key West, Florida in 2 years, and there's a large Cuban population there. And so I would like to, you know, it's only, you know, 90 miles from Cuba, whatever. So I'd really kind of like to learn Spanish. I've always wanted to. Took like 4 years of it, like a couple years in high school, but definitely took several years in college. So kind of know the basics, but not enough, not as much as I'd like, you know. So just saying, you know, I'm going to try my best on pronunciation on this one. All right, so Puerto Rico, I just, you know, let's talk about it for just a little bit. Puerto Rico has been in the news a lot in the last 5 years, especially due to hurricanes, its governors, then governors' arguments with the U.S. president, who was in office from 2017 to 2021, and the argument for or against Puerto Rico's statehood. For those that don't know, Puerto Rico is a series of Caribbean islands about 1,000 miles southeast of Miami, Florida. Most people recognize Puerto Rico on a map, you know, the little rectangular country down there near the Virgin Islands, but they don't know that it also consists of about four, maybe five more small islands. A couple of them aren't even inhabited. The other ones are just maybe, I think it's like seasonally. But most people recognize, you know, the rectangular Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is mountainous, with Cerro de Punta, the highest elevation at 4,390 feet. There are 17 man-made lakes in Puerto Rico and 50 rivers. The climate is tropical rainforest, which is so wonderful for me. That's my favorite climate, with an average temperature of about 84 degrees Fahrenheit. Lucky bastards, because that's, you know, that's why I'm moving to Key West, right? Same kind of climate. Hurricanes are definitely an issue, though, more so actually in Puerto Rico than they are in some place like Key West, Florida, because of its position. And most people should remember in 2017 how Puerto Rico got like a double whammy with hurricanes. Irma and Maria destroyed like a significant amount of property, knocking out power. People did not have access to fresh water and food. And unfortunately, the U.S. president at the time was, you know, throwing fucking paper towels out the crowd, thinking that would do it, not knowing also that Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens and not giving federal aid to the island. Seriously. Back to Puerto Rico. The capital of Puerto Rico is San Juan. The main languages are Spanish and English. It has a population on the main island of about 3,285,874, and it has an area of about 3,515 square miles. Originally, Puerto Rico was inhabited by the Taino, you know, the natives that were wiped out after Columbus discovered, you know, the islands. So it became a Spanish colony from about 1494 and was a Spanish colony for about 400 years until the U.S. won it, and I put that in air quotes, right, won it in the Spanish-American War. In 1917, Puerto Ricans became U.S. citizens. And to go from the island to the mainland U.S., or those islands to the mainland U.S., no passport is necessary. They are U.S. citizens. Their driver's licenses are U.S., you know, driver's licenses and so on. They are an unincorporated protectorate of the United States, which means they are U.S. citizens, as I said, but they do not vote in federal elections or pay federal income tax. So they don't vote for the president of the United States, and they don't vote for congressional members. Let's see. And they don't pay federal income tax. Well, there's a lucky draw there, right? They are governed under what's called the Puerto Rico Federal Relations Act of 1950, which stated that Puerto Rico would organize a local government, create a constitution for itself under the umbrella, of course, of the U.S. federal constitution. They would be represented in the U.S. House of Representatives by a non-voting member called the resident commissioner. The current commissioner of Puerto Rico is Jennifer Gonzalez. They have a governor. The current governor is Pedro Rafael Pierluisi Urrutia. Hopefully I'm saying your name right, sir. As of January 2021, he is the new governor. And they have a two-house legislature. If all of this sounds familiar, like for most of the states that are in the United States, it is. It is basically a state without being a state. So that's kind of annoying to them and to others as well. Every year, it seems like, but definitely a lot, Puerto Rico continues to vote on whether or not they should become a state. Like, their people vote on that. Sometimes it's the only thing on the ballot is the question. And, you know, and then they put it to the United States. And interestingly enough, from all the numbers I could find, each time, the numbers of 50% majority of Puerto Ricans vote yes to become like the 51st or 52nd, you know, because there's still that whole thing up in the air, but Washington, D.C. also. Either way, to become a state of the United States. What's stopping them? The U.S. federal government. Now, I don't know a lot about politics. I don't know a lot about the economy. But I'm hoping one day that Puerto Rico will become a state. I think it's kind of cool. I think it'd be cool if there were 51. You know, Washington, D.C. too. Why not? 52. And I know a lot of people are going to throw economics at me and stuff like that. Okay, that's fine. Please let me know what you know. I'm fine with that. But here's the deal. You can't say it's distance, right? Because fucking Hawaii's in the middle of the goddamn Pacific Ocean. So what difference would that make? So again, you know, if you know, let me know. I'm interested, but, you know, I'll vote for Puerto Rico to become a state. Hells yeah. I like the idea that I can go to a tropical island other than the Keys. I can go to a tropical island, as well as the Virgin Islands, by the way, but I could go to Puerto Rico without a passport. Someday I will. Can't afford to right now. Isla del Encanto, or Island of Enchantment, as the Spanish called it, is where our next woman is from, Lydia Echevarria, and where her alleged crime takes place. I say alleged, and you'll see why in just a little bit, but so who is she? Lydia was born in 1931 and is still a Puerto Rican actress. There's no other information about like her early life, you know, childhood, growing up, how she became an actress, none of that shit. I couldn't find it. I guess really for our purposes, it doesn't matter, although, you know, it would be interesting to add to the psychology of it maybe. In the 1960s though, she married a famous Puerto Rican TV producer. There's a lot about him, but again, it's about him, but not about him, right? So she married this TV producer, Luis Figueroa. He was the producer of like game and variety type shows. One of the game shows was called Pariba Papi Pariba, which means Up Daddy Up. I looked for all the shows that, you know, that we'll talk about in just a second, but it was really hard to find them. Again, they're old. Most of the stuff that she did was before the crime was definitely old, so it was really hard to find. And because it's not from mainland U.S., you know, mainland U.S. stuff, all kinds of old stuff is on YouTube, Hulu, all that kind of shit. But it's really hard to find stuff like, you know, things from Puerto Rico on YouTube. If you know of it, though, please, you know, send me a link. I would love to see it because the one I did see an episode of Pariba Papi Pariba, and it was ridiculously interesting. So they had this large family. There were like six kids from like a baby who cried the entire time, by the way, you know, all the way up to like teenager. And they asked, you know, each one of them said, except for the baby, of course, who just screamed and cried the whole time, said Pariba Papi Pariba and a daddy up. And, you know, they're talking about, they're playing this game and everybody's hugging. And it's really, gosh, it's really interesting. So the family, with the exception of the dad, the mom and the kids, go up to the top of this huge slide. And then they say, you know, Pariba Papi Pariba. And the father takes a running jump at the slide and climbs up this slide. Now, we've all, as kids, I hope you have anyway, climbed up a slide, you know, backwards when you were a kid. And so that's what he does, right? Now, I don't know if the whole entire show is just that. Of course not, because I only saw a 5-minute clip. But they did win prizes. It did show a whole bunch. And again, I don't speak Spanish, so I only got maybe a quarter of what they were saying. Even though I translated some of it, it's more fun to actually try to figure it out. But anyway, so they had all the prizes, kind of like a, you know, where they show all the prices and prices, right? So I don't know exactly what they won. Again, it was a 5-minute clip, but, and I don't know if it's like just the slide or are there other things that they have to, you know, encourage their dad to go up, you know. It's weird, but it was really fascinating. It was really interesting. I wish I could have watched more of it. But anyway, so that was one of the shows that he produced, and she helped with that, you know. But then, so she married him, and then in the 1980s, early 1980s, she was on a lot of telenovelas, which I described, you know, what a telenovela is at the beginning of the podcast. I couldn't find any YouTube videos of the telenovelas that she was on, but there were some that were called Vivir Para Ti from 1982 and Yo Sé Que Mentía from 1982. None of her work seems to last very long other than like a year, unlike All My Children, which aired for the first time in 1970 and ended in 2011. Fucking A, that was on a long time. Like when I was young, there were a whole bunch of soaps on. God, you know, some were half an hour, some were hour. All My Children you know, all soaps start out really short, right? But by the time the mid-80s rolled around, early mid-80s, which is this time period, all my children was like an hour. So it was like General Hospital. I think Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives stayed half hour. I'm not sure. I got out of soaps when I got a little bit older. By the time I was 20, I was done. Had enough drama in my own life. Yeah, didn't need that. But anyway, so now there were a ton of soaps on them, but now there's only like four. So like The Bold and the Beautiful is still on. That's on CBS. Days of Our Lives on NBC. General Hospital on ABC. And The Young and the Restless CBS. So like three of those have been on like 50 years. I swear to God. So long. All right, so let's go on to the crime. Again, that's pretty much all we know about Lydia. There's like no background information anywhere about it, but the crime is important. So, in 1983, it was rumored, and come to find out, probably true, that Luis, her husband, was having an affair with a 26-year-old model named Lydia Castillo, and that he was going to divorce Lydia. So evidently that came true. He disappeared a day before the divorce was final. He was kidnapped by two drug addicts, David Lopez Watts and Francisco Papo Newman. Papo is in air quotes. It's a nickname, I guess. They drove him to a remote area of San Juan, stabbed him repeatedly with an ice pick, bludgeoned him with a fucking tire iron, stuffed him in the trunk of his Mercedes. He's still alive, by the way. Doused his car with gasoline and lit the fucking thing on fire. It's just like when I read that the first time, I was like, damn, holy shit. The medical examiner later stated that Luis was actually burned alive in the trunk of his own car. So here's the deal. So you're pissed off, right? Your husband wants a divorce. He's banging, you know, some young woman half his age and wants to marry her. Get the fuck over it. This is like, unless you are a famous actress in Puerto Rico, or here, actually. Again, I could probably dig up a whole bunch of people who got away literally with murder or all kinds of other fucking crimes because they were celebrities or, politicians and shit like that. Anyway, so he's burned alive in the trunk of his own car. One of the men, Papo, turned state's evidence, told the cops everything, and said that Lydia had hired him and the other dude and paid them $2,500, which even back then didn't seem like a lot, but I guess it is. Especially if you're a drug addict, maybe. I don't know. So, I want to take a quick break here. I have to thank Byron Alexander for allowing me to use his music at the beginning and end of this podcast. Those of you who ride along with me know, you know, it's an awesome album. Byron is an awesome person. The song at the beginning of the instrumental version, is the instrumental version of Very Well I Know. And the song at the end is called Who. Again, instrumental version. Both songs are on his fantastic album called Square One. You can find it on Amazon, Spotify, iTunes. He's even got a YouTube channel. You can buy it anywhere. I do recommend you buying it because not only are those songs cool when they're like instrumental, but when the lyrics are with it, Byron's a fantastic singer. I use his album to work out with. Also, great driving tunes. You know, roll down your window, pop the sunroof, you know, crank it loud kind of stuff. It's fantastic. Love it. I also want to thank my husband, Doug, who designed the logos for this podcast, as well as the podcast Off Kilter No Filter. I'm going to circle back to Byron here again. Off Kilter No Filter is a podcast with me and Byron Alexander, where we discuss everything and anything. Our latest episode will be uploaded this Thursday, where we begin a conversation where we talk about blockbuster fails. A couple weeks ago, we did one on blockbuster movies. The ones that, you know, everybody's like, oh my God, like, you know, Titanic and what's that other one with the blue people? Anyway, Avatar, that's it. So I didn't like the movie, so that's why I'm like, yeah, I don't remember it. It's just blue people and, you know, some kind of tree. But anyway, I think I even saw that one in 3D. It sucked. But anyway, no offense. Our latest episode, again, so we're doing the other side, right? Blockbuster fails. And then after that, we're going to talk about musicals and stuff. Last week, we talked about food, which, of course, is one of my favorite topics. Even if I'm not talking about it, I'm thinking about it. Anyway, so come listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, any other podcast that you use. It's all on the same ones that this one is. Make sure to give us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. Favorite us on Anchor or whatever podcaster you use. All right, well, back to it. So now we're going to fast forward 1 year to 1984. Now, Popo Turn States said Lydia was the one that hired us. Gave us $2,500 so they could do, you know, sweet, sweet crack or I don't know, whatever kind of drugs they were doing. Lydia's arrested in 1984 for murder for hire of her husband. Of course, this is a huge media circus and sensational trial. In fact, all sources that I read considered it, said that it was the most sensational trial in Puerto Rican history. So in 1986, she's found guilty, sentenced to 208 years of prison, and sent to Vega Alta prison. All right, so here's where the question of celebrity comes in. And this kind of ticks me off a little bit, especially because of this woman's attitude. In 1999, the governor of Puerto Rico, Pedro Rosello, was famous for his policy of, like, no clemency to anyone convicted of a violent crime or drug trafficking, meaning he wasn't going to commute any sentences, no pardons, you know, fuck you, you committed a violent crime. However, that year, he commuted Lydia's sentence where she was released from prison, was able to live at home, was able to work, but had to be back home by 8 p.m. Why did he do that? Could it be because as an actress, an ex-wife of a TV producer, and I say ex-wife, it's so sad, right? Of a TV producer, she had influential friends in business, the arts, and even politics. Could it be because these same friends campaigned for her release and so did fans? Like, people were picketing out there, let her go, we love her, blah, blah, blah. There were also people, by the way, that were saying she was a murderess and, you know, deserved to, you know, be in prison or whatever. So there were, you know, again, that's what makes it a media sensation, right? Also, could it be that the Puerto Rican Senate voted, again, there's her political friends, the Puerto Rican Senate voted 21-0 to have her released? Maybe, probably. Her release also became a media sensation, right? With some happy, some picketing, like I said. When asked, Rosello said he released her, get this, due to her declining health and that she was no threat to the community. Supposedly, she had, like, diabetes and all this other kind of shit. She has a stepson. Who Luis Figueroa had with his first wife, and his name's Roberto, and he is now a politician, has asked for the medical records and so on to see, was she really in bad health? Because it didn't seem like it, especially because in 2001, Lydia's fucking working again. She's in a play, and this one's kind of like a slap in the face. She was in a play called Confinadas, which was a play about women in prison, and she played a woman who was in prison for killing her husband. In 2003, she was in the film Doña Anya. And in 2009, she was in Life During Wartime. She did a film in 2011, and she's done like 17 films since then. Like, she's like fucking 89, and she is still got a career in acting and still, you know, doing her thing. Now, here's the deal. She has also never said anything about it, obviously never admitted to anything. Yeah, who does that? But she's never actually even expressed any kind of true remorse over the whole thing either. You know, she wasn't grieving for her husband the way that maybe, you know, people who didn't kill them would grieve. So there's a lot of, you know, speculation again. Did she do it? Didn't she? Again, it just seems like, you know, her celebrity helped her only serve, you know, 13 years for something that was really a heinous crime. I mean, that's, wasn't like they just, you know, shot him. It wasn't like they just, you know, whatever. You know, they brutally murdered this man. So, evidently, it truly pays to be famous, I guess. Luisa Chavarria, I think I'm saying that correctly, a woman committing payment of a crime. Again, this one was short. Sorry about that. There wasn't a whole lot of information about her. It was just mostly, and I even tried to find headlines of this. But in the United States, I think it was under the wire. You know, nobody listened. Anyway, so I'm going to play a little bit of that cool music I liked at the beginning. So I'm going to play this in the background while I do my credits. Thank you for listening. This podcast is brought to you by the podcast This Is Why You're Wrong with Stephen Everett, John DeBruin, and Alex Alcantar. In their podcast, they make lists about everything from top 10 Scooby-Doo villains to top 10 string instruments. Then they argue about why their list is superior. It was an inspiration for this podcast with their episode on top 10 coolest bad guys. It was a lot of fun to be on it. So check it out on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts and compare your own list to theirs. Also, if you have a comment, question, or a suggestion for an episode, please email me at womencommittingcrimes@gmail.com. That is all one word. or comment at the website. Again, that is www.womencommittingcrimes.com. I will even read your email or comments on the podcast unless you would rather remain anonymous. If so, then make sure to express that in your email. Please support this podcast. Once again, anchor.fm/Elizabeth-Chase, and click on the support button. You can make a one-time donation or sponsor on a monthly basis. It would be greatly appreciated. Please give this podcast 5 stars on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever. Make it your favorite on other sites, and a thumbs up on any other podcasting sites. I'm on all of them, including iHeartRadio, so give us fantastic ratings. All right, so I'm going to turn it down just a little bit. I'm going to set this aside, and we are going to dig into that fishbowl, and we are going to find out who is next. I still got to get the guys in here to do this again. I kind of liked it when I had guests doing this. All right, so who do we have today? We have, it looks like, it is Jean Weber. Ooh, a French serial killer. Unfortunately, the people she murdered were children. God, I love that infanticide, right? Women and killing children. Anyway, I'll join me next week when we talk about Jean Weber, the French serial killer. And I will see you then. Check us out with the Secret Spy Sisters on womencommittingcrimes.com. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.